G'day and welcome to the 27th episode of the Destiny Down Under podcast. This week, our guest is Beard Grizzly, and we get into the lore really hard. So if you're into that kind of thing, stick around. Cheers. G'day and welcome to the 27th episode of the Destiny Down Under podcast. I am joined, as always, by Mylan Games, dancing to the left of me.
Yo.
There's no Joker to the right, unfortunately, this week. Sloth's MIA for, you know, he's got actual real life things to do. Better thing to do.
No, don't lie. He's just a dick.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to talk to Beard. Beard, thank you for joining us. Also, with the first dick reference of the week. So, congratulations. You'll be receiving a new car. Good on you.
It's shaped like a penis.
I guess so long as I'm not receiving that from the speaker, I think I'm just okay.
Oh, God, we're not going there. Lulu, that's for off the stream. How's everyone's week been? What have you been up to?
Doing great.
I'll go on, Bid.
Yeah, doing great. Little tired just because of work being, you know, up and down as usual, but... That and,
wait,
you know,
what? What do you do for work? You're up and down.
But yeah, between that, writing episodes, just finding different things, all this freaking news that we keep getting. Today was the worst possible day I could forget my phone at home.
There's lots of stuff coming out. Me, Log, I've just been trying to beat off all the fans after the community spotlight. Ooh, cheeky plug.
Oh, dude, I probably should have got that out of the way off the bat so you didn't have to do it yourself. Yeah, no, I mean, that was a huge thing this week. I put the impassioned post up last week and hope for the best, but it was nice to see it, man, and it's well-deserved, I think. And I don't think you're going to find too many people who argue with that either. It's oddly enough, there was a couple of people in that post that were like, why don't they ever do a community focus on a normal person?
Like, yeah, I did see that. Like, I did see that.
Why would they? I know it sounds kind of like, oh, here's Joe. He just plays a bit of Destiny.
Yeah, it was good reading those forum posts. A lot of really nice things there. There was also like, and so what we're talking about is when Log nominated me on the Bungie forums for the community focus. One guy was really pleasant about not voting me. He's like, yeah, Marlon's cool, but I don't really like his stuff. If you agree with me, bump this to the top so they see and cancel the spotlight. And I was like, well, it was sort of pleasant, but
you're an articulate dickhead.
Really?
Good job.
Yeah, really.
Oh, I just want to be really nice about shitting on your dreams. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, but big goal. Thank you, everyone who helped out. That's getting close to the bucket list, man. I reckon the last one's actually going to Bungie. That's it. I'm done. I'm out. Oh, I'm going to delete my channel after that.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, I'll take it over and ruin it. I don't know if you have had much of an opportunity to play, given that you're both very busy content creators, but this week...
He's playing games. I don't understand.
We've got basically, Crota's back. Sloth and I had a really frustrating run at it on Wednesday night. It was kind of pull your hair out kind of deal. It just, I don't know, it was vintage Crota. Like every time we thought we were done, something really weird would happen and we'd wipe. So I don't know. I'm gonna knock it on the head tonight. I'll jump on and kill it, no doubt. But yeah, that was my week. But I mean, I've been pretty busy, so I haven't had too much time to jump on. But I guess probably more appropriately, what content have you guys put out this week and what are you, you know, are you happy with it? I suppose, like,
I've got some feedback. You want to go first, Beard? I want to have a quick look at something. Done this week?
So this week was actually kind of loaded for me. I had two videos that I put out, which were kind of both linked. The biggest one that I had, though, was on Zavala and what he would fear. What I ended up doing, though, was connecting Zavala and some of the quotes that he had to Sun Tzu's Art of War. I took a couple days to sit back and reread that because it's been a while since I have. Read over Basho poems a little bit and, again, connected that together. Effectively just kind of looking over... It was an interesting little bit because it was more a case study into Zavala and effectively who he is a little bit more, kind of helped me to flesh out the character a little more, especially with stuff like what we saw with the scarf that Eva Levante had handed him over the dawning, because he actually like really reacts to that, and he finds it like, you know, really touching that she does that. It's more interesting and nice that you see that little stuff, especially with a character that you don't get a lot of emotion from, especially like cool. Zavala. And then the second one that I had done, which is real quick and I'll touch on it, it's more like follow-up thoughts with what I hope for Destiny 2 or to kind of see, especially with of Zavala, of Cade, of Ikora, to see out in the wilderness, and then more just touching points on Aldrin and all the stuff that's going on with him. But yeah.
Nice, man. I mean, well, there's a couple of things I'll say. I can tell that your videos are good, but I don't ever watch really other lore videos, and it's not because the content's not good. I actually find part of my creative process is not to be influenced by others' sort of theories, unless I'm critiquing something, which brings me to what I've worked on this week, which is I did a video about the collapse, and I got a lot of people angry, and this is sort of my when I first started lore, I was on Reddit quite a lot, and I think I was probably a little bit more ingrained in that community. And then as I sort of grown the channel, I've definitely separated myself from things like Reddit, and I just sort of stick to the guys that I like to have check things, like Beard's one of them that I'll send stuff to look over, Anon Pig's another person that I'll send things to have a look through and just make sure that I'm on the right track when I'm writing content. But for the most part, I stick away from that because I like my own ideas to come from what I'm reading and for them to be unique. And I think that is one of the reasons why I might come up with different theories that we haven't seen before. However, the risk of that is you sort of not in touch with what is happening. And there appears to be a shitstorm happening around Rasputin and the Traveler. And I think I've got very comfortable in that theory position. And I think I've kept telling myself that Rasputin crippled the Traveler, and I probably hinted too strongly in the last episode that was truth, and there's been a little bit of backlash. So my next video, I've gone to Reddit, there's a really good post about why Rasputin didn't cripple the Traveler. So I'm going to do a rebuttal, I'm going to do a sort of a correction to that, and then I've also got a video lined up for the Darkness as well, because there was a bunch of cards that I missed that Anon Pig told me about for the Darkness and what the Darkness is. So I'm going to go back and have a look at that too. So the next two videos are going to be more review alternative theories, a bit like my Worm Gods and Kara video where I found a really good post and sort of dissected it.
I think that's
kind of funny.
A thing worth touching on too. And it's a thing that like came up a couple of times in the community focus nomination post, is that like a lot of what you guys do is taking bare bones facts, cobbling them together, interpreting them, and trying to, you know, say, like, when I'm listening to a lore video or the lore cast with Anon and things like that, I mean, they're a little different in that they tend to really only speak to what is directly in the Grimoire cards or whatever, but you guys, you've got to take that little bit of creative license and interpretation in. You know, like, otherwise you'd just be reading out the Grimoire cards, you know, or the in-game dialogue. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, like, oh, he speculates too much or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the end of the day, that's what it is. Like, I mean, for me anyway.
Yeah.
I understand people, I want the facts. But
I was listening to Destiny Ghost Stories with Seth Dickinson, and who was the writer for Books of Sorrow, and I haven't got through it yet, but I've heard a lot of people quote some of the things that he said, and it is about interpretation of the Grimoire cards, and I 100% agree. Like that, if you don't want me to interpret, I am literally just reading you the Grimoire cards.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
they're meant to be put together, and you know what? Sitting on the fence is boring. Taking a side and saying the Traveler crippled the Rasputin crippled the Traveler, or saying the opposite evokes a lot more passion, emotion, and engagement from an audience than going, I've done a couple of videos ago, it could be this, it could be that. and this is what this next one's going to be. But for the most part, to tell a story, you've got to pick a side. You've got to pick a side, and you've got to have a middle, a beginning, middle, and end.
That's it. And at the end of the day, it's a YouTube video. It's not an official release from Bungie. Everyone has right of reply. What is that? And it's there to promote discussion and thought. Like, it's not, you know, you're not there to write the story, Matt. You're there to just, because you're a fan and you enjoy doing it and talking about it. And I think that kind of sometimes gets lost on people a little.
And people are going, Beard, sorry, you've been trying to talk for the last like 3 minutes. me and Logger used to the this podcast as an arena, and it was whoever swings first wins. go on, Beard.
It's kind of the same thing with like what I have with the Alamkara. Like, I presented my theory between them and the Worm Gods, yes, but I still have like 6 or 7 different theories that I have listed in my books, which effectively talk about who they are. And I haven't done a lot of research into, like, I set and I posted all the videos that were related to Alamkara because I know how to Google search. And I was basically like, oh, somebody did a video on the Alamkara. Let me just put that in the link box. I didn't review any of it. I didn't do much of it, which is what is leading to, you know, some of my newer content that I'm coming out with as well. I'm trying to do the same thing that you do, Matt, which is basically not expose myself to a lot of the extra stuff that's out there, because it basically totally screws up your, it can intoxicate the way that you think.
It subtly influences you.
You can't unhear it. Right.
Yes, exactly.
You can't unhear why cards are linked together once you've heard that. And I'm of the belief if you read or hear something, then you need to acknowledge it, which is why I have that intro at the beginning and go, hey, like, you know, Ephrodite, I came across your video about Ephrodite Beard, and I was like, got to acknowledge that he put a lot of bits together, which I haven't got to yet. And so I sort of like having that discovery process myself, because hearing it is different from reading it and discovering it for yourself. And
I kind of feel like I screwed that up on you too because of the Shin Malfure thing that you were doing. And I was like, hey, look at this. And then I think you watched it and oops.
It's always, you know, if I know that I've got a topic coming up, I might stay away from certain videos. But apart from that, you just sort of, you know, watch what comes in front of you.
I've taken with those videos that I've been doing, I've been taking the exact opposite tact. I'll watch everything. Like, I'll queue up a heap of videos back to back, everyone's thoughts on everything, and I'll go, right, soak it all in, walk away for half of a day, and then sit down and go, right, how do I explain this, and just try and write it out as quickly as I can. And it kind of, I mean, that works for me, because I'm not clearly like writing any kind of story. I'm just punching out what I know. But
This is the other thing. People don't pick up on some of the nuances that I use in the script as well. And I'm really, really specific with how I talk about certain cards. Well, everything. This is my formula. I will say, I think this is what's happening, or I believe this is what's happening, or my interpretation of this is this. What reinforces this is this card, which you'll see gives me this impression. And it's, I always use those words before, during, and after a paragraph, essentially. And I think people filter that out after a while. And, you know, I never go, this 100% proofs, this exact, I say, I think this means, and the think and the believe and the interpretation are important words to signpost to an audience that it is an interpretation. And that's sort of what shocked me a little bit about, and I think that's maybe that's what I did wrong in this recent one. I can't remember exactly what I've said. I've got to go back and listen to it. But I think I might have said something like, I don't know how you can't believe this. And that's all of a sudden like, boom. Like, you know, it triggered people. They go like, well, actually, there's an alternative theory to that. So.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Wow, we went on a tangent then, didn't we?
That's fine.
I'm going to say it's
one of those things. It's not a conversation we've had before. So, as you know, as long as we're doing that, and it's something that's probably pertinent right at the moment. I mean, both of you are here. You're pretty heavily involved in the lore community, and it's one of those things that it's kind of bugged me for a while that people take that of like, oh, I disagree with what you said. You're wrong. Like, no, it's a discussion. Like, that's what it is. It's not. Yeah. Anyway.
Yep,
one of my bugbears.
Right there with you. Yeah.
Quickly, I think we'll just touch on the This Week at Bungie. There was a little bit of news in it. Special guests have been invited to the Destiny 2 reveal stream. Now, Beard, I think you know who one of them is, but that's fine. We'll let that go. I saw Logan Scott actually tweeted out an email, an invitation. So congratulations if you've been invited to that. You're clearly doing something right, and it is no doubt well-deserved. Good on you. Go and represent the rest of us who are not cool enough. No, I mean, if you're at the point where you're getting the emails from Activision to turn up to things like that, congratulations, and you're definitely doing something very, very right. 20 days to go now until the Destiny 2 reveal. I am excited. I wake up every morning and I'm disappointed that it's not that day yet, actually. I just have a little cry every morning. The other thing that I saw through the week, and like I might touch on it like now, I'll just get it out of the way now. The Destiny iPhone stickers that have been doing it's probably the one time in the last 6 years that I've been like, maybe I did fuck up getting an Android phone. Because that was really cool.
I want those stickers.
Yeah, but there's actually a Reddit post. If you are an ardent Android user, there's a Reddit post up at the moment. I'm not sure who wrote it, so don't get angry at me for that. But where they've got all of those as image files, so you can download them, save them in your camera roll, and send them out as need be. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was a cool little idea. I might jump on that later. Bungie Bounty this week is the RS8. He is French. He is streaming 6 a.m. I think 6 a.m. Pacific time, which is basically the standard for Bungie, on the 28th. So I'm not sure when that actually even is. I haven't calculated it, but I'm sure it's within the next 24 hours.
I always never think of like non-English streamer, like, you know, not US, UK, or Aussie.
Yeah.
Anyone else outside of those areas. I'm sure there's huge guys out there doing stuff.
That ties in well to the next part that was actually in the this week at Bungie this week, is that they've added native support for filtering by alternate languages, which I thought, I mean, it's not something, I'm like that, basically what you were just saying, in that I don't really consider it, which is kind of rude, I suppose, but, you know, we, in the English-speaking world, you know, there's a lot of us, I'm not going to say we're the bulk of the audience, but I'm pretty sure we are, but, you know, I think that I just assumed that would have been done, but I mean, good on Bungie for making it more accessible to people. You know, helping people connect, I suppose, is probably the most.
So, what does it do?
I mean, the way I understand it is that you can go into the forum and filter by language.
Oh, okay, in the forum, in the Bungie forum.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're Japanese and you put up a clan recruitment post in Japanese, people who are looking through it in the eye of the Japanese language will see it, and I think that's pretty good.
There must be a big freaking audience in South America or any sort of Spanish speaking.
Yeah, well, I mean, you see it on Twitch. That's when it kind of prompts me to think about that sort of stuff. When, you know, there's German streamers, you know, whatever. There's definitely people out there, and I mean, if you happen to be watching this podcast, I'm sorry for the bastardization of the English language that I do, or poor representation of my quarter of the world or whatever, but welcome. Anyway, the last thing, the video of the week. I think we've all seen it. I think probably most of the internet's friggin' seen it. Bife's Iron Lords video.
Yeah, yesterday?
Love you and hate you, Bife.
Yeah.
I hope you know that. I love you and hate you because you make such good lot of content. This is the same reason. Yep.
It was something else. If you haven't seen it, go and see it. It's in the This Week at Bungie. It was, I don't know. I don't even know where to begin.
Do you know what I said to get, this is how I said it. I texted Gammatrap. So Gammatrap's the gent that does all my artwork, and he's also working on my next video comic book. And I sent him a link to that. I said, if you don't make something better than this, you're fired.
I can. He definitely responded positively to that, didn't he?
Yeah. No, Gammatrap is super competitive. He was like, all right, they've got these skills. This is what we need to do to make it look like that or make it look better or whatever. And I was like, man, it's fucking, that's some grade A animation, like,
yeah, it was up there.
You know,
The amount of times he says that he hates his own work is hysterical.
Gamma. And you're like, oh my God, you make me anything I've ever drawn in my entire life look like freaking cave paintings. Jeez.
Right.
That thing was, you know, so good from Blythe. I was just like, that quality is so far out of reach from me because the budget needed to put that together is what he gets on Patreon, which is in the thousands to make something like that. So I'm like, damn, I'm going to have to reassess how to do that.
It's smart, but
yeah, because you're basically hiring a 3D engineer at that point to do something like that. You're not just doing an animator. Like, that's a lot of big work that went into that.
Yeah, but fantastic. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So good, man. I mean, like,
definitely.
I wonder if he's going to continue with the, getting community people to voice characters.
Were they all from the community, were they?
I don't know that they all were, but I'm trying to think of who it was. Was it Arex that did,
It looked like his face. I don't think
it did.
I don't know. Maybe I misunderstood a tweet. I thought it was...
No, I was just making fun of Arex for... Because Radagast totally looked like Arex.
Here we are.
I don't know if they actually modeled it on his face because it looked really similar, but I'm not too sure.
There you go. Oh, well, anyway, that just disregard. Disregard. Oh, all right, well... Matt, do you want to get into the community questions?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's kick off the community questions. So this is a new segment we've added to the Destiny Down podcast. I thought it was a cool way to answer questions from my YouTube channel during the podcast and get a array of lore opinions from people that, who are new to the lore or are increasing their knowledge of the lore to our guests. You know, Big Grizzly's got a good grasp on what's happening in Destiny's lore, but as we get different guests on, I think it's an exciting time to get their opinion about these kind of questions. And so these questions might not necessarily have the meat that would make a full episode, but they definitely have enough substance to do a bit of a round table with it. So
definitely.
If you have a question, post it in the comments below. If you like someone's question and you want to see it featured or answer the podcast, make sure you upvote it. And that's how we'll do it. So now this is actually was the top voted comment on the last community questions video, which was from Hunter Ghost 115. Mylan, will Ephrodite and the Reef help us fight Gary? Let's start with Log. Ephrodite and the Reef, how are they going to be involved with the Cabal invasion?
I think they've positioned Ephrodite there sort of now at the very back end of the whole thing. She's come back. No one knows why or where she's been, really. So there's got to be a story to be explored there. So I think in some capacity, yeah, she will definitely be helping us. With the Reef, without the Queen and Prince Aldrin's off in wherever he is, I'm very interested to see what happens there. But I mean, I kind of think that they're kind of like de facto involved anyway. You know, they're fighting the same enemy we do, but I don't know. I think there could be a little bit of political intrigue go on there. You know, Aldrin comes. I mean, I'm going to assume that Aldrin comes back through the course of Destiny 2, whether it's initially or later on. You know, where does he come back from? That's the real question. And
I've got lots to add. To
I know,
that.
I know. Good, I'm kind
of good starter. I don't agree with all of that Log, but that's a good starter. Yep.
So I think my first idea was completely right with titling my my Ephrodite video "Destiny 2's First Link," because I think when they introduced Ephrodite in the Iron Banner, I kind of had a feeling with some of the stuff she was saying that she was effectively going to be somebody that was going to teach us different ways to utilize light. I don't think that can necessarily be questioned at this point, especially with what we kind of know of what's going on. It's the question up to what point that's going to happen. But I think she is going to be a teacher of some sort, and maybe that's going to be a thing within Destiny 2 where we have different teachers that we learn things from. It very well could be something related to a couple theories going right now about the Fallen, where we start to either learn something from them because they have been lightless for so long, or it could be completely the opposite and they're just going to go ahead and try to still kill us. But that's effectively the only two options that I can see for me personally, for the Reef, though, I think they're going to be the speaker, and we know this because spoilers and doing research on this. The speaker has tried to reach out to the Reef, and effectively they feel the Guardians are their way to sate their vengeance for the loss of the Queen, the loss of what they have right now. So the question is what they're going to effectively be part of. I think we're still going to interact with Varix, and we're still going to interact with Petra. I don't know to what degree, personally.
Okay. I've got a slightly different opinion. But with the Fallen, I think these things are starting to come together. So this is, I was just having a look over some of my notes when I made a video about Ephrodite, and Tara Khan says this, right? I heard rumors about Guardians running away to the Outer Rim, dissenters, bug huggers, pacifists. Never gave it much thought. Surprised people like that could have stayed hidden this long. Bug huggers being a reference to being friendly with the Fallen. So it's interesting with Prince Aldrin. I made a video about Prince Aldrin too. His new card is extremely interesting. He basically baits the House of Kings to capture him, and he pretends to be extremely weak and beaten up, and they're basically dragging his body to, and because he knew if he fought back, they wouldn't bring him in front of the Kel. And the card essentially ends with him pretending to be very vulnerable and being brought before the Kel of Kings, and it literally ends with a very interpretive. I think it says something about one when one Kel rises, one must bend the knee or something like that. So I took that as heavily implying that Prince Aldrin had had baited the House of Kings to take him to the Kel so he could claim the leadership. So there might be links between Ephrodite, the Reef, and joining the Fallen in some way. That's a really big if. But my main thing about Ephrodite is they are the group of Guardians that she is with is really not for combat. And I really don't feel like it matches the lore for them to jump into this fray. Because nearly everything is about them being pacifists. It's about them not using the light for combat. And she won't tell you where they are. She says, now I have a whole family of Guardians in the outer system who believe the same. And before you ask, no, I won't tell you who they are or where. And Shira refers to them being in the Outer Rim too. So I think just from, if you'd be a little bit stricter with what is said from Ephrodite in the Iron Banner quest lines, they don't want anything to do with this combat. That Bungie would have to introduce a really good reason for them to jump into this fray, because they've removed themselves from using light as a weapon. But as you said, I think it was Jill Shah. She said the Guardians that Ephrodite's been hanging out with will be part of future releases. Does that mean it's Destiny 2, or does that mean it's something else? I'm not too sure, but definitely hinted at future releases. We'll find out a bit more about Ephrodite. The only other things to add about the Reef, remember that like Trueborn Awoken in the Reef don't typically like the tower and the city. The Queen is still alive. That was confirmed in a live stream by Bungie when they had the voice actors. They said they were talking about future voice lines for the Queen, and they made a big deal about it. And we shouldn't have said that, but it was sort of clearly dropped on stream that the Queen is coming back. And so she has a plan of some sort. I think we'll see the Reef jump into the fray. They did it with the House of Wolves to prevent the city from falling. But they are in disarray at the moment. Prince Aldrin's off. There's been assassination attempts on Petravenge. If Varix is sort of holding different positions and different commands, so they're a little bit disorganized since the battle with Oryx as well. Whew, there's actually quite a bit in that question. Thank you so much, Hunter Ghost, for that.
Good one.
Should we do another log, or should we leave it at that?
Go for it.
Okay. So we have, along the similar lines here, this is from Daniel. Damn, Daniel. Will we have access to Felwinter Peak and the Reef in Destiny 2? So I think this is a good question about social spaces. We sort of just spoke about the Reef, so I don't know if we need to cover that again, but Felwinter Peak is an interesting thought.
Yeah. I think that we're probably going the way, I mean, like, and we've got nothing to go on except a trailer, and we're outside the walls of the city, sort of, you know. Yeah, I see Felwinter Peak as maybe being a place that comes into it, but I don't see that as, like, becoming the new social hub. I think we're far more likely to be pushed away from that sort of place. I mean, maybe it comes back. Maybe it's attacked as well. I mean, it is in a different area, but, I mean, if the Cabal are nothing, they're calculating, you know, they're going to know that. So, that attack as well.
Yeah.
If they're willing to assault the city, they're certainly going to be willing to assault their little outpost at a, on top of a mountain.
That's what I think, yeah. What do you think, Ben?
That's pretty well on point. I think we have more chances of taking up some kind of base or like an acting field base in like a ruin like Palamon than we do going back to Felwinter Peak. Yeah. I honestly think it would be a terrible idea for us to go back there, only because the Fallen know exactly where it is. And they can easily go ahead and throw, if that's the idea, to throw something back out there. And don't forget that the Fallen have had some interaction with the Cabal. So who knows exactly if they have any kind of data that they picked up from them. I think going to Felwinter Peak would be a bad idea. Could we revisit it? I don't think they're going to throw it out. I think we'll probably like have something where we need to get people out of there or get some information out of there. Like Tyra has a ton of books and records and everything else that are there. It is still the remains of, or at least the monument to the Iron Lords and what's left of them. So I don't think they're going to throw it out, but I don't think it's going to be a main hub.
I sort of agree. I mean, I really hope they re-envision what a social space is in Destiny 2. And I think we're all sort of hoping for a much more open world and to move away from these clustered areas where you have to travel to, because it really breaks that immersion. But the thing is, you know, if we have this open space, Felwinter Peak would be a cool place to walk to travel to see in a PvE environment. If we're assuming the tower went down with the tower hangar and we lose all of our ships and we actually much less mobile in our system, and they provide a more open space that's scattered socially rather than fly to a certain location. I think
to interject, you had said about Guild Wars 2, and I think both of us had on stream, I think yesterday, just something more akin to that, if anybody's familiar with that idea, just how open and sprawling those environments
you're
gonna
make your way to the places if you want to visit them.
I think that would be really cool. I think that would it would be interesting. I would definitely be very excited to see that happen, but also obviously nervous to see. You got to be nervous when they make big changes like that to the formula of what Destiny is, because it's going to be a risk. So, you know, I would love to see that.
I think from a purely gameplay point of view, I want to see new places. Like, I fell into Peak, been there, done that. In the story, it may well still be there, but I'd like to think that the social spaces move on and be something new and fresh. In a purely pragmatic approach.
I agree. I like Beard's idea of some of these settlements that have been in the lore before but haven't been main focus points, like Palamon, which is the story of Dredgen Yor and Shin Malfa and Jaren Ward. So those kind of places would be really cool. Yeah. I've probably got one more if you want, Log.
Yeah, go. Show me.
Sure. Now, this is actually from your Twitter, Mr. Grizzly. So Arcane _K9, where the heck did Saint 14 go, and why did the speaker send the Guardian away? I'm not too sure what that last bit is, but where the heck did Saint 14 go? Mr. Log?
No idea. Elsewhere.
Mr. Beard?
If I have to speculate from some of the stuff that I'm seeing now, and also too with one of the first, if not the first expansion for Destiny 2 being about Osiris, I'm almost wondering if he basically didn't join up with Osiris in one means or another. That's almost that. That's been my feeling now for a little while. There was something that Osiris had information of, which either from the dedication that both Saint 14 and Osiris have to each other for a long time as combat buddies, there was something that just made him go, "Nope, I can't do this anymore." Because he pauses in the Saint 14 Legends and Mystery cards about what it is he needs to do. And it's definitely that he's contemplative about his duty to the speaker and definitely contemplative about what it is he needs to do to basically stop enacting or having anything happen with the Vex or whatever else Osiris is basically trying to push for. So that's my idea, is that he's effectively lost somewhere with Osiris, and they're both going to show up at the same exact time.
Yeah. So I was just trying to find that card. I believe Legend Saint 14 is the last known location of Saint 14 that we can see in the Grimoire cards. Interesting. I've never noticed this. The Grimoire card image is actually the gyroscope.
Yes.
I've been wanting to make a video about that gyroscope, but I've never had enough information. Well, don't say anything, Biff. Look at him smile.
I'm not saying nothing.
It's like, I know what it is. We'll talk. We'll talk later about that. Maybe we should team up on that if you've got some ideas. Wow. I'm a little bit stumped with that gyroscope.
The lore tease is strong.
Yes. So this card is basically Saint 14 phone home after he's just headbutted the House of Devils Kel and crushed the skull of that, and he's called back the speaker. By the way, he calls the speaker his father and the speaker calls him son. Don't know if it's a metaphor, don't know if it's literal. Not 100% sure on that. But it says, Saint 14 says this: "Father, I don't think I have the energy to return. I'll rest here and come back to be honored when I return." And then the speaker says, "Of course, son, but there is something concerning you. More fallen march on the city. No, not this time. I have word that Osiris was seen on Mercury, the Chloris Basin. He's turned his mind back to the Vex. Mercury, too many channels to know. You activate one, you start to feed its vein. He threatens our peace. Your duty, my son, you must never forget. I cannot." The ghost killed the feed and waited for his guardian's words. "Ghost, prepare my Vex arsenal and plot a course to Mercury. That old man is about to wake up hell." That's our last known location. He's heading towards Mercury to find Osiris. That's probably the most factual way to give an answer to that question.
Excellent.
Well, I think excellent questions. Yeah. Thank you, everyone who left it in the comments below. This is the type of conversation we'll have on the podcast and upload to YouTube. I will put a little Destiny Down Under logo on the thumbnail, and the title will be starting with community questions. So you can, if it's not your kind of thing, you don't have to click on the video, and you can separate it from my other lore videos. Otherwise, if you join this, make sure you leave a comment below and let us know what you want us to talk about. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, I mean, I think from there, like, I think everyone's best piece of content they've seen this week is probably Bice video. We don't need to go into that. It's going to be hard pressed to push past that. I think maybe we can go straight into answering and having a bit of a chat with the chat and doing that stuff. So I think there was a few questions that were raised through that. So if people want to reiterate them and give us a chance to kind of, you know, jump on that. They don't necessarily need to be lore-based. I kind of live Destiny and don't live that, so I can answer questions about other stuff. But, that'd be unreal.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right, I'll open it up. Look, there you are. If you're writing now, you're YouTube famous. There we go. Twitch famous. It's a wonderful thing. I think the other thing we should probably touch on. Oh, no, never mind. I was thinking of something else. All good. Logs all over the shop.
While we wait for some comments, you guys, do you have anything else that is in your YouTube history that you would like to tell people about? Apart from Mr. Bus?
Absolutely, Duba's video. Duba's rap that recapped sort of the Destiny experience. That guy's a machine, man. He is such a, like, I respect his musicianship, and I know that, you know, like, he's not the track was made. He collaborated with an artist to have his backing track made and all that. But to go through and painstakingly build just go through it, listen to it, and listen to the sheer amount of fucking words in it. It's nuts. Like, I applaud him. I mean, I know that he didn't get Movie of the Week. I know he was gunning for it, but I think he does. He fills a definite sort of niche in our community, and only makes it richer from that. So, that was absolutely the video that I've seen.
Oh, do you know who's on my list in my history?
Who's on yours?
Mr. Log Power Slave. With the, if you guys haven't seen Log's 60 seconds to 120 second lore videos triggering the entire audience, it's worth the watch, man. It's worth the watch. Yeah. He's done Dead Orbit and what was the
Future War Cult.
Future War Cult, yeah. So it's pretty much how I would explain the lore if I've had way too many beers and
that's the state I live in, Matt. That's I don't know. I mean, I'm like, I know it's not a uniquely Australian thing, but everyone, like, we all take the piss aggressively out of each other and the things that we love, right? Like, there's nothing's off the book. Like, we just go hard or go home. So for me, it was kind of just a little way of, I don't have a whole heap of time to work on content and stuff. I work full time, so I can do these short little videos, sum things up, and maybe get a few people who aren't into the whole, like, longer lore videos and serious explanations of, you know, like, you watch the videos, you still walk away a little bit understanding what each faction's about or whatever. So that's all I'm aiming for. It's just lighthearted. It's a bit of fun. I'm going to do the subclasses next, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to absolutely probably die after that, because the second I start slinging insults about subclasses, like, people are a little bit more passionate about that than the factions. I'm sure of it.
Ooh. We've got a question from Dan Hara here, but I've absolutely also just thought of another topic on top of that, which came up in stream, so maybe we can talk about it. So Dan Hara in chat says, do you think the Cabal will try and weaponize the Traveler, and how? And the second thing that just popped into my mind was that screenshot you said this morning, Beard, with the new symbol that looks like a Warmind symbol. Oh, God, I'm being attacked by dogs. So why don't we start with Dan Harrell's first question. Cabal weaponizing the Traveler.
I think, personally, I don't think that'll be the case. I think they're going to be flat out trying to just restrict it and its ability to help us, if that is indeed what it's doing. I don't think they're going to turn it into some, like, weapon. Maybe they'll weaponize it in the sense that they could disable it and drop it on the Earth. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a pretty big thing. Like, it's going to cause a lot of damage, but I don't know. Who knows? Well,
it's like that screenshot you sent this morning, Bid, which says a world without light.
Yeah.
That, to me, indicates they're not going to be using light as a weapon or weaponize the Traveler and its powers. Like, they're getting rid of it. They're just kaput, gone.
They understand that it's that much of a threat to what they are and everything else that they basically fought, that they need to basically remove it from the game to even think to win. I'm almost wondering if I'm not along the same thoughts as you are now with this this Warmind symbol, possibly, but I'll let you go on.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen, you guys obviously know what Rasputin symbol looks like. It's a diamond symbol, very sort of strong lines. The Rasputin symbol is like, Siva symbol is like Rasputin symbol, with one of the lines sort of kicked off and you know, a bit fuzzy, a bit different color. So this new symbol in the background is very, very reminiscent of Rasputin's symbol. It's these thick white lines on a black background, but completely different. It looks a bit like a doorway. It's a U shape. It's an upside down U, essentially, or, you know, like a square U. Could be a new war mind. And if that's the case, my bet would be on Charlemagne, bringing Charlemagne back in. Thoughts, Beard?
Well, so here's where I kind of thought you were going with it. So in terms of Charlemagne, we know that Charlemagne existed on Mars. and we effectively know that it was something that was lost. Well, Cabal, of course, were hanging out on Mars. They could have ended up finding it before we opened up Rasputin to be able to get over to Mars, because we don't know how long the Cabal have necessarily been there. So if they found Charlemagne, if they understood what was going on with it, if they figured out a little bit more of a way to utilize what technology we had in the Golden Age, then I guess that comes back to Dan Hara's question in the opposite direction and says, yes, they are going to weaponize light because they already know how through Charlemagne. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, they have some way that maybe they can start to utilize that. They brought that technology with them, and that's how they were able to even close off the Traveler. So it could be one way or the other. It's literally there to close it off, to take it out and away from everything, or they have some measure that, yes, they can utilize it and they can focus it. I could see it going one way or another, realistically. I would lean more towards the idea of just locking it off, though, more than anything. Yeah. Because it took us how long through the Golden Age to realistically utilize the light, and even then, what did we come up with? Ultimately, we came up with SIVA, and that was a problem.
Well, the thing is, right, there's always been a big question mark about the Scion flares and if they ever actually recovered any information from the databases in the Dust Palace. So when we climbed the Dust Palace, we climbed to the top, and we find the Scion flares sort of digging around, as it says in the Grimoire cards. And it is confusing. There's a couple of conflicting cards. It's hard to tell whether it's Rasputin's mind or whether it's Charlemagne. It's mm-hmm. never really confirmed. There's a Cabal card that hints at Rasputin testing his might against the Cabal and Vex and basically using a death ray on them. And then from that, I think it's Valis Turak says, find the source, rouse the flares, find the source. And I assume that it then goes on to the Dust Palace. Mm-hmm. However, I think one of the cards about the Dust Palace, Cade says, I wonder what they would talk about, the Scion flares, if they got into Rasputin's mind. And that card to me is like, well, is it Rasputin's mind on Mars? I thought there would have been Charlotte. Like, so I think, I don't know, I think it just sort of refers to Rasputin has control over all of the other war minds and all the other systems. So he's sort of interconnected. So if they did get into the Dust Palace, they could have got something from that, a control of something. I think that's a real possibility, though, that they did get something, and that's how they maybe launched part of this attack. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and you can see that Rasputin is basically interconnected with the mission, The Last Array, because in there it does showcase the planets Venus, Mars, Earth, and the Moon. So it does showcase that he's gone everywhere, that there is a possibility or at least some uplink that's available. What we haven't seen is his interconnectivity towards places like Skyline, at least being our last actual place on Mercury that exists. We haven't seen any kind of interconnection of that, and there's so much more I'd actually like to know about that. But Rasputin being in all of those areas, yes, they have other places other than just Mars that they could access that stuff, and we know that that the Cabal were on Mercury at one point. We just don't know necessarily how, when, etc. We just found Vertigo way later.
Vertigo is a really interesting map too, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a go at Julian's. Sorry for making you wait till last, mate. But these things are
lucky last.
Yeah.
It's on the same topic, I guess. The quote being, "Welcome to a world without light." I think I covered this in my Traveler's Trapped video that we are being stripped of our powers of light. Mm-hmm. There is a picture of a ghost that is not lit up, which is super interesting. I think that's just for marketing purposes. And to think that I don't think that's like there's no more ghosts. I don't think that's what that means. I think it could be though. That's very suggestive, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm gonna say it plays to both sides of it.
No line.
Yep, it plays to both sides of it because realistically, it's not like dead ghosts are a new thing for us. They're basically laying all around, but they don't all have like just black marks in the middle, like their eyes aren't closed or empty. They seem like they have something. This one is devoid of everything. It has nothing else within it. So this one basically either showcases that, no, there's going to be more dead ghosts to find, hooray, the grimoire is back, or it does showcase that ghosts are going to be either dead or cut off from the light completely, and that does kill them at some point or another. Which then, realistically, I think it just sparks to the next discussion, are we going to have the Traveler always blocked off or not? But that's a completely different topic. But no,
well, yeah, this looks like the directory, right? Normally, you would see the Traveler in that circle.
Right.
The Traveler would be in that circle. This would be in the directory. The Traveler's not there. Instead, we've got, it says, a welcome to that light. There's a symbol, which could be a Warmind, or it could be the Cabal symbol for some reason. I'm not familiar with it at all. I don't think that is any... I'm not very good with the factions of the Cabal. Maybe there is some similarity there, but I would have to look back into it. And then a ghost that is totally devoid of light. My lord, what does that mean?
Yep. I gotta say, it basically plays back to the initial thoughts that I and some others had had, that we may not have our ghosts at least for a period of time in Destiny 2. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but it certainly would suggest that that might be the case when you have the dead ghost plus the phrase. If it was one of them, I'd still say it's just for marketing purposes. With both of them, it really makes me think that we're going to lose everything. And the only other thing that makes me think and speculate is that Nolan North has confirmed he's coming back to take the part of the ghost. But is that for, and I've thought about this, is that for flashback? Is that for a couple of pieces and lines? And we might get like one last hurrah from our ghost, and then all of a sudden he fizzles and he's gone. I just ruined everything for everybody I know, but that could very well happen.
But here's my lead. Like, this is what's going on in my head at the moment. Do we lose our ghost, but Aphrodite teaches us the peaceful way of the light to maybe resurrect ourselves? Or something of that nature. Resurrect each other, and that sort of thing.
They just roll credits, everyone's happy in the universe, no more destinies. They cut the
no one the can ever die
short by, you know, 7 years.
Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe. I'm sure that's something Activision would do.
I'm sure they're considering it.
Yeah.
Righto. Okay, I think we're going to wrap up on that. Great question, Julian. It's no one knows the answers, so that's just speculation, but good fun. We're going to do what we normally do. We're going to raid into someone and pass the love forward. We're going to visit Spartan Sonny. He's a good kid, so we're going to see what he's doing. But if you enjoyed the episode, give it a follow. You probably have by now if you're an hour in doing it. But thank you. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone who turned up and asked questions in the chat. We try and do this so that we can sort of give back to those who turn up in a live format. And we'll see you next week.
Peace. See you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I knew he was going to do it.
I'll find you. Don't worry about looking up Destiny Lore. Destiny Lore will find you. Bye-bye.